In the early 1990s, geneticists found out about genomic imprinting. This was a big surprise. This is, in fact, the biggest surprise in a way since Mendel. Because what they discovered in some clever experiments on mice is that some genes are only expressed from one parent and not from the other parent. On the contrary, they are silenced. And not only is it just the odd gene, these are key strategic genes that affect the whole organism. The first one to be discovered, and in many ways the most important, is IGF-2, insulin-like growth factor number two. This is a key mammalian gene. It makes people bigger. Now, it's insulin-like growth factor two. It's the copy of IGF-1, which is the main mammalian growth hormone. Now, that is a classical Mendelian biallelic expression. In other words, you get it from your mother, you get it from your father, you express both. The reason you express both is that both the mammalian mother and father want the baby to thrive and grow. The evidence from human beings is the bigger the baby, the better its prospects in just about every respect. There was some interesting medical research done on this in this country, which proved that rather stunningly. What people realized is that there's a problem with mammalian reproduction. And the problem is that in mammals, all the father contributes is a single sperm. The mother contributes everything else. And furthermore, unlike in organisms that lay eggs, where the mother can control the egg and what goes into it because she lays it, in mammals and indeed in flowers, the embryo develops inside the tissues of the mother, and the mother's living tissues feed it. The result is that in flowering plants and in mammals, you get genomic imprinting. And the reason you do is that there's a conflict about growth, because growth is good news for the father. It's a free lunch for his genes, but it's a cost for the mother. And as every woman who's ever given birth will tell you, a big baby can be a problem when you're in the obstetric ward. Okay? This can cause major problems for her, not for him. So IGF-2 is paternally active. It's turned on, but IGF-2, when it's in an ovum, when it comes to the mother, is turned off because effectively they're arguing about it. And this came as a big surprise because up till then we'd thought that sexual reproduction is a very good idea because it gives you two copies of every gene, and if one could be affected, the other will compensate. Of course, this often happens. But here was the exception. It's a bit like saying to your student, throw away the copy of your essay. You don't need a copy, one copy will do. And it's very dangerous. What happens if something goes wrong with the only copy you've got? The answer is we get imprinting diseases. One of them is Beckwith-Wiedemann syndrome. What happens in Beckwith-Wiedemann is that there's a double dosing of IGF-2. So this gene, which is normally only expressed from the father, in Beckwith-Wiedemann babies is expressed from the mother as well, and they are overgrown. Overgrowth, they more likely suffer from tumors, cancers, and things like this. In the past, most Beckwith-Wiedemann babies would probably have killed themselves and their mothers trying to give birth to them. Today, of course, they're all born by cesarean section. They still have problems because they're overgrown. The opposite thing can happen. IGF-2 can be, sorry, can be imprinted from both parents. It can be turned off from both. And then you get Silver-Russell syndrome. And Silver-Russell is a undergrowth syndrome. The baby's too small, it doesn't thrive. And the interesting thing to get, now we're getting close to your interest in autism, is that Silver-Russell children are much more likely to suffer from a psychotic spectrum disorder, but Beckwith-Wiedemann from an autism spectrum one. And this led eventually in 2000 to me putting the everything together, and that became the imprinted brain theory. And I thought this was perhaps an idea that the genetic conflicts, which geneticists had described in mice about the size of the offspring, were carried on into childhood in the brain. And by this time, we had very good evidence for differential expression of imprinted genes in the brain. We knew that more paternal genes were expressed in the lower brain, so-called emotional brain, limbic system, that controls things like appetites, gut reaction, emotion, but more maternally active genes were expressed in the prefrontal cortex and in the underlying striatum, both mice and man. And this suggested to me that this might be a general principle. In other words, what was happening is the father and mother were in conflict over the mentality of the child, and the father's genes favored a more demanding child. And this is where I linked up Freud with this, or did in the 90s, the id. In other words, the id was the psychological agent of the father's genes. The id said, give me, and give me now. I want it. I won't put up with anything. I'm just interested in gratifying my needs and drives. That's speaking paternally active genes in the brain. The ego, on the other hand, says, no, you know, let's be reasonable about this. You know, think about tomorrow. This is the mother's voice saying, all right, you can't have all of that now, but you can have some of it and so on. And you don't give me all this trouble. You see what I mean?
Are you ready for the future of the West?